Not very cheerful, is it?
No.
Yeah.
A basket of ripe fruit sounds attractive.
It does sound attractive.
Until you realise.
Yes, he's saying it's just about to be eaten up or go off or something like that. That's essentially what he's saying, is that the time is ripe. That's where it's, we've reached the limit, the end of the God's patience with the people, yeah? And so he tells them what's going to happen, that all the singing and all the... Because it was all doing well at that time. All the fine stuff's going to go downhill fairly quickly. And describes its many, many bodies flung everywhere. That's verse 3. Silence. And I don't think it's just the fact that there's nobody speaking there. It's just this awesome judgment, you know. Yeah. It reminds me of a verse in Revelation. There was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Just that, oh, God's almighty presence, you know. So there we find, he says, he's got the indictment against the leaders again, the people in charge, and well, all the crooked lot anyway. Hear this, who you trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land. They were exploiting people. God does not like people being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're saying this. When will the new moon be over and the Sabbath ended? Why do they want the moon, new moon to end and the Sabbath to end?
The pastor.
Sorry? They weren't for fasting. No, no, they normally had a feast at the new moon. They weren't doing business.
Yeah.
Weren't making money. Yeah. That's what it's about. This is so. When will so we get back to business? You know, when's the weekend over? We can get started again, sort of thing. You know, that's really what they're saying. What's more important to them, worshiping the Lord or filling their pockets? Exactly. Yeah. And then he describes how they fill their pockets very dishonestly. Skimping the measure. So anything that's got a measure, they make it smaller. Yeah? Right? And boost the price. Do you know they do that with chocolate bars? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
The smaller weights and bigger prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, not.
You go into the pound shop and think you're getting something cheap, but in actual fact you're not, because it's lighter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you see, they were doing that then, you know. That's the point he's making, right? Dishonest, fiddling people. And then he says, cheating with dishonest scales.
Mm.
Yeah. So when they measure it out, yeah, either that or they've got a special bag of weights.
Mm.
What they do is they've got two bags of weights. They've got the normal one and a heavy one.
Mm.
Yeah. So when it comes to weighing your, light ones. So when it comes to weighing out your food, they use the light ones. So whatever's on your side is less than what you would normally get. That's what they're doing. The dishonest scales. Buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. It sounds a little strange phrase that, but they were basically getting people, well, imprisoning people effectively, just because they, for money, or they couldn't even afford a pair of sandals. They're getting them into the debtors' prison type thing
as
well.
That's what the people are doing today, aren't
they? Yeah. They're grinding the poor into the ground. Yeah. Yeah, and this I think is even, this is terrible, selling even the sweepings with the wheat.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, you get that with tea bags, by the way, have you noticed?
Yeah,
you get tea leaves and a load of dust.
Yeah.
It's exactly what's going on there as well, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing new, I keep saying that, don't I? There is nothing new under the sun, right? Yeah. So the Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob. Now the pride of Jacob is himself. Yeah. And I will never forget anything they have done. That is bad news, yeah. God doesn't miss anything. And so he's going to deal with them for it. Will not the lamb tremble for this and all who mourn it? It's almost like an earthquake, he describes, yeah. The land will rise like the Nile, be stirred up, and then sink like the river of Egypt. So it's everything's shaken up. That's what he's going to do. And in that day, when these judgments come, I'll make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. That means the day is over before you've even got halfway through it. Yeah? Yeah, it's finished. That's what we're getting at. I'll turn your religious feasts into mourning and all your singing into weeping. They were good at religion, you know.
Yeah,
they could do the stuff, but God says it's not impressive. He doesn't like it. I'll make you all wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I'll make that time like a mourning for an only son. That's really saying is that if you've lost a child, you know, that's one of the most bitter griefs a person can experience. He says, that's how bad it's going to be. And at the end of it, it's going to be a bitter day. It's going to be terrible. Yeah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. That is, do you know, when God does that, you're in trouble.
That's serious.
It is. He had sent prophets because he wanted them to hear. But the point's coming, he says, I'm going to turn off. No more. It's too late. They're not listening, so they're not going to be able to hear anything now.
I read the parable this morning of the owner of the vineyard and the farmers looking after the vineyard. And basically that's saying the same thing. They were dishonest and he sent his prophets and they ignored them.
They didn't listen, yes. So the time comes when there's no more messages, no more signals, it's the end, yeah.
But then he sent it down.
So it's a terrible, terrible situation. And in a way, you know, that's become the state of some parts of our world today. We were fortunate to have a Bible in our houses. We were fortunate to hear God's word if we wanted to. But it's getting worse. How can people hear what God's message is now? I think of all our kids, you know.
They were saying on the Christian channel this morning, Revelation TV, that Russia started the same as us. They had the Orthodox Church. Yeah. But the real church all went underground.
Yes.
And they said it's the same thing that's happening here. Yeah. While the Church of England is part of the government, they'll go over that.
Yeah, we're not hearing God's word anymore in some sad ways, really. I just feel for our children, you know, the young kids at school. You see it on these quiz shows on the telly. I don't watch many at all. But if there are quiz questions about the Bible,
no idea.
That's a famine of hearing God's word, really.
I've said before, because I was in a terrible situation, and so I thought, I had to turn it round, I will.
Yeah.
Reading this and seeing these, I will. It really makes me understand how the Lord feels.
Yes, he's seriously angry about all this.
He feels almost crippled up, I know he's God, but it just shows you the extent of how he must be feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's come to the end. That's the tragedy of it, yeah? So verse 12. Men will stagger from sea to sea. I noticed Louise's translation said the Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
It may mean that. It could well mean that, from one sea to the other. It means throughout the land.
Yeah.
But it could also mean it's just north, south, east and west. They're not going to get anywhere, basically. Searching for the word of the Lord, they won't find it. Terrible. Really bad, yeah? Right, in that day, same time of judgment, the lovely young women and strong young men will faint because of thirst. Which means, if the fittest are going down, there's not much hope for anybody else. That's the point, They who swear by the shame of Samaria, he's talking about the shame of Samaria is where they had their religious feasts with the idol there, yeah? So that's what they're doing, they're making their gods God, which aren't gods really. And as surely as your God lives, O Dan, that was the other place they went to, and as surely as the way or the God of Beersheba lives. He says, they can all make their this God, that God and the other God, and his answer is, they will fall, never to rise again. Right, so the gods are going and they're going with them. Yeah. So that's another chapter of judgment. Chapter 9 begins the same way, really. I saw the Lord standing by the altar and he said, strike the tops of the pillars, so that the threshold shake. Now there's a really important question in this one. Which altar is he speaking about? It looks like, and I think it makes sense, to say it's the temple in Jerusalem. He's just moved 70 miles south or so. He's talking about what's happening in Jerusalem, because that's going to happen in Jerusalem, what's happening in the north. So he's dealing with the whole nation now. I think this is what chapter 9 is really dealing with. He's talking about the whole nation of Israel as it's coming. So the Lord says, strike the tops of the pillars so that the thresholds shake. Bring them down on the heads of all the people. And those who are left I will kill with the sword. No one will get away. None will escape. So he's going to destroy the temple. That was unthinkable. But it's what happened, and God says, I'm going to destroy that.
The man, you see, the tops of the columns
of
the temple.
Yeah, all right, so they put the explanation in. So what happens in the north is just a sort of a prelude of what's going to happen in the south as well. Yeah. And he says nobody's going to get away with it. None will get away, none will escape. And then he uses some interesting illustrations of that, verse 2. Though they dig down to the depths of the grave, from there my hand will take them. So you can go as low as you want, God will find you.
Yeah.
That's one. Yeah. Though they climb up to the heavens, so you can go as high as you like, catch a rocket to the moon if you want, he'll still find you. Yeah. From there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, so that's the one of the highest places in Israel, as it was. Yeah. They go up there. There I will hunt them down and seize them. Yeah, so, no escape. We're getting the message, are we?
Yeah.
It's not finished. Though they hide from me at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
How about that? Do you think you get away from God at the bottom of the sea? Well, Jonah found that one out. It doesn't work. Yeah. What's God going to do if they go and try hiding in the bottom of the sea? There I will command the serpent to bite them. The serpent is the great Leviathan, that type of creature. You know, the sea monster, we call it, yeah. So, they get down there. And then, though they are driven into exile by their enemies, there I will command the sword to slay them.
Okay.
So, those that escape still get caught. Yeah. I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. That's God speaking about his own people. Isn't that sad? You know, that people that turn away and reject God, they're heading for trouble. There's no alternative, is there? Yeah. The Lord Almighty, who touches the earth and it melts, and all who live in it mourn. The whole land rises like the Nile, and then sinks like the river of Egypt. So he's, the Lord Almighty, really, God is all powerful, and he's going to shake things. We read that in the letter to the Hebrews, yeah?
Yeah.
Once more I will shake not only the heavens and the earth, but everything, you know. God's going to sort things out. So he's pointing ultimately towards the end of time, but he's dealing with people at that time as well. He who builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundations on the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. So where's God's residence in verse 6? In the heavens. Lofty palace in the heavens, yeah? Right? And he reaches down to the earth. His foundations are down on the earth. He calls for the... What does that remind you of, this little verse? He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land.
The one they're going to go over and drown everyone.
Where
are they going?
Tsunami.
Tsunami.
Yeah. But it's bigger than that. I think it's an echo of the flood.
Yeah.
It's an echo of the flood. God judged the world then. That's what Peter... I mean, Peter says this in his letter, you know, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and saying, where is this return you've all been talking about? And he says they forget one thing. Yeah? God judged the world once, and he's going to do it again. They forgot the judgment once, so they think it's not going to happen ever. But they're wrong. He judged the world with the flood, he's going to do the same. Yeah? And that's what he's saying. God is the God who judges. That's what those verses are saying. Well, now this is really sad. This little bit. Are you not Israelites, the same to me as the Cushites? Declares the Lord. Did I not bring up Israel from Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Arameans from Kir? What's God saying there? Any guesses? It's seriously bad.
He writes his people up for their time, doesn't he?
Well, that's it, but that's not what he's saying there.
Israel thought they were chosen by God.
That's it. Israel were chosen by God, and they were relying on being chosen by God as an excuse that they can't do anything wrong, they're going to be okay. God says your election does not count if you don't live the way I've chosen. Yeah? And what he's saying is, you're just like... Basically, you've made yourselves now like the Cushites. Do you know what the Cushites were?
Yeah.
No, they're not the Philistines. No. That's Cush. Have you always got that? Yeah. Where's Cush?
No,
it's Africa.
Africa.
Yeah.
And then they've got the Syrians from
Kira. Well, we'll come to them. We'll get the Syrians in a minute, yeah?
Does it feel to me sometimes people see themselves as if, you know, we need to... each person has to have come to the Lord as a separate person.
Yes.
Mm, now, there's a danger that people hook themselves together, like we're the Israelites, but really, to tackle this, they've got to recognise each one of them.
Yes, it's about God's made us a people. He makes them. He's made them a people, but the people have to be individually part of the family.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Yeah. Just back to the Cushites. The margin in my Bible says it's the Upper Nile region, Ethiopia area. Yeah. That's right. So he's saying, "Are you? You're the same to me as the Cushites," declares the Lord. Now here it might be considered a bit racist, but basically saying is they're black, and you're white. You think you're okay, but you're not. You're just like the Cushites, and he says this: did I not lead Israel up from Egypt? Well, he saved Israel from Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt to make them a people. And the Philistines, where did they come from?
From Crete.
Captor is the old name for it. Yeah. So the Philistines originally were people who lived on Crete, and they flitted to across the Mediterranean to land on the coast of Israel. Yeah, that's where the Philistines came from. So God brought the Philistines from Crete to Kir, to there, and then the Arameans or the Syrians from Kir. Well, do you know where Kir is? No, nobody does. But it's somewhere where the Syrians came from. we've lost the reference as to where it is, but that's not the point really, it doesn't matter. Basically God's saying is, I chose these people, I moved them from there to there. I did that with those, and I moved them from there to there. I did that with you, from there to there. And do you think that's going to make you any better than them, if you're not going to start living the way I want you? It won't count. Yeah. Right. Surely, the eyes of the sovereign Lord are on the sinful kingdom. Oh dear. God's still looking. I wonder what we'd say about his church as well, eh?
It's
Anyway. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yeah, so God's going to judge them, isn't he? Yeah? Yet. Do you know that's an amazing little word, that? Yet I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. Notice he's using the house of Jacob. Yeah. Right? So I think he's recluding the whole people now, yeah? He's saying is that these Jewish people, I'm going to destroy the lot of them. Ah, but. Not quite. There's a remnant, yeah. Yeah. For I will give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations. Well, did he?
Yeah.
Has he?
He's scared them throughout the
world. All over the place, yeah.
Over, yeah.
Yeah. All right. If people have said to Amos, you can't be serious, that's not going to happen. And, I mean, will they survive all those thousands of years being scattered? They'd say, no chance. I mean, when did you last meet the Philistine?
Oh yeah.
Right? Or a Moabite. You know? They've gone. They've gone. And yet this one people that God splattered all over the world, still there. God's going to, it's up to something, as you can see, yeah? So I will not make an end of them totally, is what he's getting at, yeah? As grain is shaken in a sieve, and not a pebble will reach the ground. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword. So he say, I'll shake him among the nations, but as grain is shaken in a sieve. I mean, where did you last do that? Because we don't do that with farming now, do we? You harvest your wheat, and what do you do? What did they do? They put it through a shaker. Well, there were two things they did, but shaker's one of them. But some of them had a pile of wheat on the ground, and they got a shovel type thing, and threw it in the air. Well, they've got the wheat out, it's all been thrashed, yeah? They throw it in the air, in a windy place, and the wind blows away the chaff, and all this stuff falls to the ground, right? Yeah? So, that's what's happening first. I think they're separating the chaff out, but then, you've got stones and bits and bobs in there. What you need then is a sieve that will let the wheat through, and catch the pebbles. Right? So, they shovel it into a sieve and shake it out, and they keep all the wheat, that's on the pile, but all the stones, which won't do your teeth any good, right, they get rid of. Yeah. So what he's saying is, God knows how to sort out things that are bad and good. He knows how to keep the good ones while getting rid of the rubbish. That's the point there, that's sieving, yeah. And not a pebble will get to the ground. Yeah, they've had it. These hard people who are pebbles. Are you a pebble?
No.
That's all right then, good, right. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword, and all who say, disaster will not overtake or meet us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they say that. People say that. Disaster will not overtake us or meet us. What kind of attitude does that tell me? That they've
arrogant.
Got? Arrogant. They're mm-hmm. self-confident, mm-hmm. arrogant, they're okay, I'm sitting pretty, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Nothing can go wrong.
No.
You don't believe it. God has his ways. And he's saying, that's what I'm going to do. I'll stop it. I'll fix them. Yeah? And now, that's the judgment. And we've got this lovely little bit at the end here. So, right, in that day, we've got that day again. That's the end of time, really. Or the time of Messiah coming, I guess you'd call it. Yeah.
No, that is the prime of just been saying all week.
In that day?
At the end of the day.
All right. Yeah. But this is that day, yeah? Not your day, that day, yeah? I will restore David's fallen tent, and I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be. In that day. Well, what's he doing? What's he going to... Well, let's ask it. God's going to do some restoring. That's the message, yeah? And he's going to restore David's fallen tent. What's that? Yes?
Jesus, the Lamb of...
Jesus is going to do it, yes. But there's even... Well, we'll say even more than that. You can't get better than Jesus, I know. But David's fallen tent. What was David's tent?
Temple.
No, it's his family, his kingdom. David's kingdom, right? It's the kingdom of God, we'd call it, yeah? With Messiah at the head of it, ultimately. But David was king for a while. So it's David... But what did David build? He built palaces. Yeah? He built big, strong things. And now it's a tent. What's it come to? Bit ramshackle, isn't it? In other words, the kingdom's gone down the pan. Yeah? The fallen tent means it was a tent, it's even the tent gone wonky. Yeah? So God's going to restore this destroyed ruin. We call it a ruin, yeah? Of the kingdom. They've messed it up big time. So God's going to restore David's fallen tent. Yeah.
God's restoring. He's a God of restoration.
He's a restoring. Yes. Yeah.
The whole picture through the Bible.
He'll repair his broken places, the bits that are all wrong. And one of the broken places was the idolatry that had to go. He's going to restore its ruins. Is that wonderful? And build it as it used to be. Do you know when's the great highlight of the kingdom in the Old Testament? It's the time of David, isn't it? All look back to that. It's the time when the great king ruled and there was peace and everything else, and Solomon led into that, of course. And we read in the prophets that this David is going to come again. Of course, it's Jesus, the Messiah, is part of David's line, of course. But God's going to promise to rebuild his people. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
We need this, don't we, in this world? We need to have this stillness and quietness and rest in the Lord.
Trust, you've got to trust him. Yes, he's going to do it. Yes, yes.
And what were the first people that came back? Farmers.
Well, yes, that's true, yes. Yeah.
Get the name going.
Yeah. This isn't referring ultimately to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. That was a small return in a way. This is big return. In fact, it's the nations, amongst the nations.
Yes.
So we're in those days now, aren't we? God is restoring Israel, but there's also the spiritual side. He's calling out a people for himself, and the Jews are coming back to the Messiah as well, which is wonderful.
He's bringing into clouds the father of nations, Abraham, because Gentiles are saved now.
Now you're rushing ahead, you see. Yeah. I've got the next bit to come here.
Yeah?
Right. Verse 12. God's going to restore them, and he brings it back to us, so they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. So there's no question about him not doing it. He is going to do it, yeah? But it's interesting that they may possess the remnant of Edom. Why Edom? No. I don't think so. I mean, I haven't... Jean and I were talking about this morning, and we came up with the same idea, so I can only say it's a good idea.
Edom.
It's all the nations, but Edom's one of the nations. Why does he say Edom as a special case?
Is it because the land becomes like Edom because of the...
That Edom, not Eden. Edom.
No.
And this is referring to the end times when Israel leaves Eden to Bosra.
in the tribulation time.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's even referring to that, to be honest. I think there's another thought. Yeah. Edom was originally, and basically for all their time, it was descendant of Esau. Yeah? Jacob and Esau were enemies. Yeah? Edom was long established enemy, and we'll see in some of the more prophets later on, Edom is bad. Yeah? In fact, it comes to a place where God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Yeah. Now that's not he's saying he's hating them, it's just a matter of I've chosen Jacob and I've rejected Esau in terms of the Messiah and all that.
It's not lining up almost with a picture of barrenness really.
No, I don't think so. No, there may be. I'll just share what I had a thought about and my dear wife agreed with me, which is always a good thing. Yeah. Edom is family.
Oh.
Edom is family. They're still part of the Semitic group. Yeah, although they've rejected the God of Israel, the time will come when they'll come back to recognize that he is the one and only true God. So I think it's a restoration of what I call the Arab nations. Yeah? The Arab brothers, who are now hostile, seriously hostile to Jacob. Yeah? At one stage they're going to turn back. So that's the family. But then we go, not only that, he says, but also, what is it, all the nations that bear my name. So that includes the Brits.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean every Brit. What does it mean, all the nations that bear my name?
In mine it says all the nations that were once mine.
That were once mine? Well, no, I think it's future. It's yeah. All the nations that bear or carry my name. I'll stick with the future at the moment, yeah? Yeah? What he's saying, I think, is this. To bear his name means you're called by the grace of God to belong to him. In other words, and this is the New Testament interpretation of this, James talks about this verse in Acts and says, this is proof that the Gentiles are coming in. Yeah? James says that. It's proof the Gentiles are coming into the family as well as the estranged brother, you could say. God's going to make it all under one king, one head, and his name is Jesus. Let me just take you to, I think it's Acts chapter 15, somewhere around about there. It's the conference at Jerusalem that they have. And James, the leader at the church in Jerusalem, sums it up. Yes, chapter 15. Hey, that was good, wasn't it? I got the number right. Yeah, verse 15, because what's been going on is Peter has spoken up because there was an issue about Paul. Paul had said the Gentiles can come in without becoming Jews. And that was a really big issue, and you can understand why. I mean, things have been like this for 1,000 years, now it's all changed. Yeah, the Gentiles are coming in without becoming Jews. Right? But they have the Gentiles have to behave in such a way as they don't offend their Jewish brothers. That was what the conference was to deal with. But Gentiles become believers in the family of God without becoming Jews. And then James, having heard Peter and what Paul had got to say, he sums it all up in verse 15. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. Oh, sorry, I'll just pick up verse 13. When they'd finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. I'll rebuild its ruins, I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things that have been known for ages. So James is quoting Amos to say the Gentiles are coming in. That's the prophecy. Well, Amos got it in before James did. quite a long time before, because it's God's word. That's part of what God's plan was. So he says he's going to do that. That's part of the restoration, the restoring of Israel and the restoring of the people of the earth to the Lord is all this wonderful plan of God. Yeah, right. The days are coming, declares the Lord, and Lord, bring them sooner. When the reaper will be overtaken by the ploughman and the planter by the one treading the grapes. Mm-hmm. Yeah? What's that? You're all new farmers. Now you know what that means?
the fruit will be there.
It's really quick. You plant it, and all of a sudden you plant it, then somebody's coming to gather the harvest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So that's what's going on. Yeah, the harvest is coming in so fast as the planters can't keep up with it. Yeah. And there's a lovely, lovely sermon by Spurgeon on that. And it was during a time of revival. He says that's what it's like in revival. You can't gather them in fast enough. They're just coming in, flying in, yeah? And he's saying that's God's promise. Yeah, he's going to do that. And then new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills.
It's all happening now, isn't it?
Well, yes, actually, the world-class wine is now produced in Israel. Did you know that? Yeah, at last again. But it's more than that. What does it mean that the new wine will drip from the mountains? That sounds a bit gunky, doesn't it? Yeah.
Doesn't it mean it's a
Jesus? Yeah. Go on. Yeah. New wine will drip from the mountains.
More people.
No. It's an abundance. It's fruitful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. New wine means the new. It's just coming in fast. An abundance. Everything. It's we're getting back to what it was meant to be. The land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, same idea, yeah? A place where there's an abundance, yeah? And God's going to make it like that. And then we're told, I will bring back my exiled people Israel. Well, what's the other version? What's the other word for that one? I'll bring back my exiled people. Well, yes, he is doing that. But I think that passage is really saying is I will... There's an alternative translation. I will restore the fortunes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be good. Good times are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I can't help thinking. Now with this overflowing, and then at the moment we can see things happening, and you know we forget. We feel a bit tense because of all these things happening in the world and it being more difficult as Christians.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this should then encourage us to keep going and do our bit and keep together
until this time comes.
Yeah.
That's why God gave it then, because there are some people, those that are the wheat that didn't get lost. Yeah, during the whole period of God's time working in this world, we're still looking forward to troubles, trials, problems. Jesus said that. Yeah, but beyond all of that, these words are given to us to instill in us to be hopeful, to be confident. Ultimately, we're winners.
Yeah.
Paul puts it, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Paul was getting beaten up, thrashed and everything else, and he still says, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you'd think he was crazy, but I know he isn't.
You can't lose.
Yeah. So that's why these verses are given this. Not just future, this is to keep them going till the future comes. It's part of God's way. So, the reaper is going to do well, the sower is going to do well. I will bring back I'll restore the fortunes of my people, Israel. Well, he's doing that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. Yeah? Yeah. Right. I can spiritualize this as well, of course. You know, God's going to provide for you. What was the problem for the judgments that Amos was saying is, you're building your palaces, your fine houses, and I'll tell you what, you won't live in them, because I'm going to drag you off. Yeah. But he says now, the days are coming when you'll build and you'll enjoy. Yeah. You got a home, right? You'll live in them. They'll plant vineyards and drink their wine. Well, remember Joel and the others? You plant your vineyards and what comes along? Is a locust goes and cleans you out. Yeah. But now, no locusts. You plant and the wine comes. Yeah. They'll make gardens and eat their fruit. Well, before you did your garden and somebody come and raided it.
Yeah.
But now you go out and pick your fruit and enjoy. It's a practical way of describing it, but it's covering a spiritual thing as well. God's blessings can be enjoyed. Yeah? He comes to bless and give us opportunity to enjoy them as well. Yeah? Yeah, there's a lovely verse, one of my favourites. It's in one of his letters later on. It's one of Paul's letters. God gave us all things richly to enjoy.
Yeah, but isn't this because of the obedience of the people?
Yeah.
That they've now got the blessing of God.
Yes.
Before, because they were disobedient.
Disobedient, yeah. Don't expect God to bless disobedience.
No.
Yeah, right, yeah. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I've given them. How about that?
They're not all the way there yet though, are they?
They're not there, but I take that verse to mean it doesn't matter what the, for the moment, in Israel in the flesh, in that sense now, yeah? Doesn't matter what the United Nations say, anybody else say, God put them there, they're not going anywhere else.
And the boundaries have still got to be...
So they've got to be sorted out. They've got to be sorted, yes. Well, but yeah. But they've got the foot in.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Our plan is never to be uprooted from the land I have given them, because God's the one that gives.
Yeah.
And brothers and sisters, let's just apply it to ourselves as well. If God's blessed you, yeah, and you're walking in obedience with him, it's a blessing you can keep.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy. Yeah. Right. Says, and the last verse is brilliant, yeah? I like the end of the verse. Says the Lord.
Your God. Lord.
What does he say?
Your God.
Your God. Yeah. In other words, he's become their God. Yeah, they've recognized him and responded to him as their God. And when you do that, you guarantee there's some good things on your road. Yeah. So the blessing of the Lord, there's a good verse in Proverbs.
Yeah.
The blessing of the Lord makes rich and, you know this bit, it's a good bit. No? Couldn't tell you the number. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and, this is an old version, yeah? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Yeah. Right, that's Amos.